Yeah, we're looking at the mitzvah being mafkir, and what is the halacha? The halacha of Shemitah is that the peiros, whether it's peiros, fruit, vegetables, grain, whatever it is.
Shabbos is coming. My Mishnah.
Yishkoch. Thank you. The peiros that grow in a field during Shemitah are considered to be ownerless, and anyone is allowed to take them, including the owner. And if the owner stops anyone from taking those peiros by closing up his field, or even by putting up a no trespassing sign, or by telling people they can't go, he is violating a mitzvah saseh, a positive mitzvah, that says, "Vashviyas tishmetena unetashta." On Shviyas, you must release, tishmetena is to release, unetashta, and abandon. So the halakha is, indeed, that the owner is permitted to forage for what he needs on a day-to-day basis like everybody else, and once he takes what he takes in, that's his. Meaning, anyone that's zochem in a hefker keeps the peiros. In other words, if you're in a field and you take peiros shvias, I can't say, oh, it's hefker, let me take it. And once somebody takes it, the talush, it is permitted, but while it's attached to the grounds, by definition, there is an issur for anyone to prevent other people from taking it and the like. Now, there's going to be a big machlokas. We mentioned it last week, although that's not what we're going to talk about today, b'ikr, that let's say the Baal HaSadeh transgressed this prohibition and he prevented people from taking the peiros. That's called mishumar. So according to some shitas, peiros that are mishumar become forbidden to eat. The only peiros that the Torah allows you to eat are peiros that were properly mufkar and not mishumar, and therefore once it's mishumar, it is usher to everybody, not just to the guy who violated the halacha, but it becomes a chepza of isher, mishumar. And other rishonim say that mishumar is mutter, just because I violated the mitzvah to say, but the peiros b'yetzim are mutter b'yachida. Now, la halacha l'maisa, this is one of the very interesting chilukim between the old psak of Anshei Yerushalayim, going back to the time of the Beis Yosef, and the hachros of the Chazon Ish that came much, much later, interestingly enough. That is, in Yerushalayim, we are mekel on Meshumar. That means peiros Meshumar are mutter biachila. The Chazon Ish was machria that peiros Meshumar should be usher biachila. Now, okay, we'll talk about the Hedjim. I'll talk about the Hedjim here more later on, but this is a very important point. And the same thing is true by a parallel question of Ne'evad. Ne'evad means, what if somebody did forbidden agricultural activity on the land? So it's forbidden. It's a losase. If somebody is Zoreya, somebody planted, it's a negative commandment. It's Ne'evad. He was over on Aveda. Is the produce that grows as a result of forbidden labor analogous to Chil Shabbos or something else? Is it usher or not? So here too, the Anshei Yerushalayim, the Minhag Yerushalayim is to be Mekel. So we are Mekel on Shomor and Ne'evad. The Chazon Ish is Machriya L'chumra on both of those issues, that Shomor and Ne'evad is usher. And the third difference, Yerushalayim has three differences between Yerushalayim and Chazon Ish, is do the laws of Shemitah apply to produce that grew in a field belonging to a goy? Yerushalayim says no, there is no holiness of Shemitah on peiros that grow in the land of a goy, and that is the sheet of the Beis Yosef, and the Chazon Ish is machria, like the Beis Yosef's great colleague, the Mabit, Moshe ben Yosef Trani. Trani is actually Mitrani. Trani is a city in Italy. But the Mabit was a great contemporary of Yosef Cairo. And this was a big, big machlokas, whether the holiness of Shemitah applies to peiros that grow on the land of a goy. So in Yerushalayim, we have, I'm not even getting to the Rabbanim, I'm talking about even the Eid HaCharet. There are three leniencies that all of the Batei Din in Yerushalayim follow for hundreds and hundreds of years. We are Mekel here on Shomor, we are Mekel on Nevat, and we Paskin, there is no Kedushas Shavias on the payrus of a goy. Again, I want to emphasize this again, if I'm repeating, forgive me, that even those who don't like the Rabbanut sale, for whatever reason, they don't argue with the principle of the Rabbanut sale, that if it was land belonging to a goy, like an Arab, it does not have Kedusha Shavuos. So the Badatz may not go with the Rabbanut's Mechira of land to non-Jews, but the Badatz does have Yevul Nachri, they'll buy from the Arabs, and of course politically, this is a very controversial issue, because especially now we can see it, because you're buying from Arabs that might be terrorists or funding terrorism. And also, there's been some many reports that Arabs are just buying Jewish produce and dumping it in the field. Okay, whatever, those are going to be issues. But I'm not dealing with the practicalities now. I'm just dealing with the theoretical structure that the Bati Din of Yerushalayim have three leniencies in the Hilchos Shavuos, Peiros Ovdei Kechavim, which allows L'chatchila to do Avaida, and it doesn't have Kedusha Shavuos. And then we have Meshumer V'Navad, which although the Peiros have Kedusha Shavuos, but the Chiddush is they don't become Nesar because of Meshumer V'Navad. Okay? So the Chazer Nish, once again, is Machriya L'chumra on all three of those issues. So therefore, you see, according to the Chazon Ish, if a Jew worked on a field belonging to a non-Jew, the peiros of that field will be usur b'achila. If a Jew guarded the field of a non-Jew, the peiros would be usur b'achila. Now, even the Chazon Ish, however, is moida that I don't say what the goy worked on is usur. Right? Meshumer v'nevet would only be if a Yisrael violated the halacha, but the Chazon Ish holds that is going to be a problem not only for the farmer, that's going to be a problem for the consumer. See, Rav Shlomo Zalman basically said that since in Yerushalayim we're Mekel and Meshumer v'Nevad, so any laws of Meshumer v'Nevad are only relevant to the farmer who's doing the prohibited activity. It doesn't apply to me eating the food at my table. Chazon Ish would be chaylik in that, because Meshumer v'Nevad becomes a chepza of Isura. Okay, so those are the basic hachros. Are there people in Yerushalayim who follow the Chazon Ish? Absolutely there are. As you know, the Chazon Ish, give another example, the Chazon Ish is very machmir on the use of electricity, that even if you turn on your light before Shabbos, if electricity power is generated by Jews, who are Mechalel Shabbos, which was the Chazon Ish's shita, that you're not allowed to use that electricity, right? So a Talmidim of the Chazon Ish will only use their own generators on Shabbos. They will not use municipal electricity or anything that's connected to the national power grid. Now, in Yerushalayim, most people for most years were somech on many, many heterim, and they used the city electricity and the like, but more and more people, indeed, in recent years have been knighted to the Chazon Ish's chumrah in electricity, and a much smaller number, but there are many yechidim who follow the Chazon Ish Lagavi Shemitah as well. So that's why when you go into these different stores for Shemitah, they will mark what is called Yevul Nachri, what is called non-Jewish produce, in order that those who are machmir on Meshumer v'Nevad will know that they can't buy it, because Yevul Nachri is assuming that there were a Meshumer v'Nevad. Well, okay, that's an issue. Okay, we'll come back to it. Okay, but yeah. You can ask him ahead of time.
You're,
yeah.
You're causing someone to sin by going to the field.
Right.
He chases you out of the field.
It's analogous to the, that's a good point, that one should not enter a field where it's likely he'll be chased out, because he's causing the owner of the field.
field.
Well, it's lifnei'iver. He's causing the owner of the field to transgress a sin. Now, the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a father is not allowed to hit his b'no gadol. I'm not allowed to hit my b'no gadol.
Does it say Ben? It says only Ben.
Yeah, Ben. Because why? Because the kid may hit you back, and you're either on causing him to commit the aveira. It's an amazing thing. Maka oviv. There's a parent is going to be punished, like double punishment. The parent is going to get punished for getting hit by his son if his behavior was goreim, that his son would hit, even though that's a sin. But that's also called lifnei'iver. So lifnei'iver could apply in that situation as well. Now, here's the thing. The Michas Chinuch now brings a shayla. Now, he raises it as a shayla, but he immediately says it's an old machlokas. So this is, even when you read the shayla, you know, if you have any background, you know right away, this is not the Michas Chinuch shayla for which he's bringing rayas. He's really just restating a famous, famous old machlokas. And that is, when we say Shemitah produce is heavier, do we mean that there's a mitzvah on the owner to be mafkir? But until he's mafkir, it is his property? Or do we mean the Torah itself makes the peiros hefker? In other words, let's say I'm not religious, and I refuse to renounce ownership of what's growing in my field. If I say the Torah makes it hefker, then it's hefker. You have the right to take it over my objections. But if the pshat is, it's not hefker, it's my property. But the Torah says, I have an obligation to be mafkir. Well, that's fine. But until I am mafkir, it is mine. And for you to take it would be gezel, would be gezela. So that's a big question. Are peiros shvi'is hefker mimele? Or are peiros shvi'is subject to a mitzvah to be mafkir, but until there's hefker, they don't have a shame hefker. Now, there are two important nafkaminas here. Two very important differences. Difference number one is the one I just alluded to, and that is, am I allowed to take the peiros shvi'is of a person who tells me not to take him? Now, putting aside your lifnei'iver problem, that might be a cheshbon, but putting that aside, if the idea is it's hefker, well, you might want to stop me, but if I want, I have the right to take it. There's no gezela. It's hefker. You don't like it? Argue with Hashem. If, on the other hand, you have a mitzvah to make it hefker, but until you make it hefker, it's yours, then when I take it, I'm a gazlan, and I have to give it back. That's a big nafkamina. Now, there's another nafkamina. That is, even if you don't stop it, if you weren't mafkir, the nafkamina would be, and let's say, for example, you're not mafkir, but you like me, and you say, oh, you can take it, I like you. Here's the question. We know, the Gemara says many times, that the produce of Shemitah is pater from trumos and masros. Right? The produce... That, in other words, if I gather Shemitah grain, Shemitah vegetables, Shemitah fruit, I do not, that's why we go, when I go into your field and I can eat the apples, I don't have to take off trumas and masras. But it seems, although this will be a shayla too, that the reason why peiros Shemitah are patur from trumas and masras is really not a special Shemitah law, but it's part of a general rule that anything that is hefker is patur from trumas and masras. Forget about trees. Let's say now, if I'm walking in the street, and I find, the Gemara says, apples that fell off a tree that are lying in the road. Let's say there's an apple tree that overhangs the road, or the sidewalk, and the apples fell off the tree. So the Mishnah itself says that when you have fruit that has fallen off a tree in a public walking area, since people trample on it, etc., so the owners are mafkirit, or they're miyayish, which is the same thing. They give up hope of getting it back. So the halacha there too is, not nothing to do with Shemitah. When I take those apples, even if I take them home, not just outside, when I take them home, I'm not chayiv in trumas and nisris, because that's a rule that says, hefker, patur mi trumas and nisris. So it seems from most of the Gemaras that the aside that Shemitah produce is pater from Trumas and Masros is nothing more than a specific application of Hefker being pater from Trumas and Masros. So Zaktim and Chasrinach, but if we say the peros are not Hefker unless the owner makes them Hefker, so if you let me take it, but you were not Mafker, remember, you can't just be Mafker for me. You're unwilling to be Mafker to everybody. You let me take it. If it's not Hefker until you're Mafker, I'm not Zeicha from Hefker. I'm simply being Makabel, a Matanafi from you, of Peirush Shavias. So in such a situation, it's going to be Chayav in Trumais and Maisers. Okay? So this is a two important Nafkaminas. Is it Hefker Mimela, or is it a Mitzvah to be Mafker? Nafkamina, is there Gezel if the Balabayas tells you not to take it? And number two, if the Balabayas tells you to take it, but he wasn't Mafker, are you Chayav in Trumais and Maisers? Of course, there's a bit of a question. To say that Peirush Shavias are Chayav in Trumais and Maisers, you get into a problem. What Maiser do you give? Because like this, every year of the cycle, you give Truma and you give Maser Rishon. But the second tithe depends on the year. Year one, Maser Sheni. Year two, Maser Sheni. Year three, Maser Ani. Year four, Maser Sheni. Year five, Maser Sheni. Year six, Maser Ani. And that was all Shemitah. No, there's nothing at all. But now we're saying there actually is the possibility that Shemitah might be Chayiv in Trumas and Maisras if there was no Hefker. And by the way, the same thing would be true by Meshomer, according to this. It doesn't have to be I gave it to you. Let's say even for me. In other words, if I am Shomer Sodeo, and you hold, of course, Meshomer is Mutter B'Achila, do I have to take off Trumos and Maisras? If it's Hefker Memela, I don't have to take off Trumas and Maisras. If it's not Hefker Memela, I have to take off Trumas and Maisras. So what is the second Maisra you give on Shemitah? That's the problem, right? You go, so they actually say that it would be Maisra Ani. Now it's not clear if that's based on pattern recognition or not. So what do you have? You have, this is like those IQ tests. It's actually an IQ test and they show you a pattern. And then you're asked to predict the pattern for the next year. So let's see. Year one, two, you give Maser Sheni. So you have two Shenis. Then you have one Ani. Then you have two Shenis. Then you have one Ani. So under pattern recognition, Shemitah ought to be Sheni. That's not going to work because year one and two are Shenis. And then you'd have three Shenis in a row. Right. In other words, the preceding pattern was two Shenis, Ani, two Shenis, Ani. Right? So you never have more than two. Two Shenis, one Ani, two Shenis, one Ani. But whatever you do in Shemitah is going to upset the pattern, because if you make it another Sheni, so you might say the idea that Ani is never two in a row, then you can have three Shenis in a row. If, on the other hand, you have two Anis, you're breaking the pattern. So the truth is, it's an odd numbered sequence, so you really can't have an exact symmetrical, even pattern. So the poskim say that it's Maiser Ani. It's not so clear what the logic is, because the reason that's given is really a pure rabbinic reason, and it's hard to know how that could be Machriya in the Torah, and that is that it's Kedai to give Maiser Ani so that the Aniyim should have some extra Parnasa during Shemitah. How that could be a machria on being koveya the Doraisa year, that's very, very difficult. Maybe this is only going to be true of Shemitah's Durabanan, but you still have to answer the question. So when Shemitah was Doraisa, what was the second Maisa? Yeah. Okay, yeah, that could be. In other words, you already have four. You have four out of six was Maiser Sheni, two out of six is Maiser Ani, so now we at least make it a four and a three. Right, the Torah doesn't split it. Either way, it's not going to be even. Yeah.
Year six, it spills over into year seven, and it considers it's like 1 year, like we have on Rosh Hashanah. It's all 1 day,
yeah.
Even though it's 1 day, Rosh Hashanah, 2 days, it's like 1 day, so we can also be two Ani.
could be. It could be. But, you know, these are reasonings. But the question is, you know, what makor do we have? Do we have any type of drasha for this? I'm not aware of a drasha that clearly tells you. I mean, I know the halacha. The halacha is that's maiserani. But the makor for why it's maiserani, I don't know if there's a clear drasha for that. Because that were kaveya.
The same way you could do, a person could do Havdalah way after Shabbos. He could do it even Monday, Sunday night. If you would want the same thing over here, you would extend your,
But that doesn't work for any other year. In other words, you can't do that with the three and the four. I mean, normally the years are very rigid. The years are very, very rigid, and you cannot.
What you mean is that the previous year was
okay, it's a mother's story. I mean, you're almost like telling me, like, well, the guy's wandering the desert. He doesn't know what day Shabbos is. So let him count 6 days. You know, I mean, he doesn't know, so therefore, you know, okay. All right. But now the so we have two nafkaminas. Now, the Michas Chinuch brings a third nafkamina. And the third nafkamina is a very unusual thing. Is a woman, Mechuyeves, to be mafkir, Peirush Shavuos. Now remember, there's a mitzvah saseh called... Let's go back. Before I get to that exactly, let's go back and say the following. The hefker of Peirush Shavuos is a mitzvah saseh. Uba Shavuos tishmetana unetashta. Now, let's analyze what is the mitzvah saseh like the two views. Mitzvah saseh is a mitzvah put on me. So if the pshat is, it's not hefker unless you make it hefker. So the mitzvah is to make it hefker. Now, if you say it's hefker memela, here's my question. If I say it's hefker memela, what is the Torah commanding me to do? The Torah is not commanding me to make it hefker, because it's hefker with me or without me. So, like that interpretation, the Torah is not commanding me to make it hefker. The Torah is commanding me to treat it like hefker by not closing up your field and by not excluding people. In other words, the Torah is not commanding you to be mafkir. The Torah is commanding you to respect the status of hefker. Now, the nafkamina by women would be the following. Women generally are paturos from time-bound commandments. This is called, and there are many exceptions to be sure, mitzvah saseh shezman gerama, right? That's why a woman is pater from tefillin. Whether she's allowed to put on tefillin is another issue. And that's a whole controversy, but certainly she's not obligated in tefillin, because there's no tefillin at night, or there's no tefillin on Shabbos. Even if Laila is a man's tefillin, there's no tefillin on Shabbos. A woman is patur from sittis, because there's no sittis at night, although I'll get to that. A woman is patur from lulav. A woman is patur from sukkah. Shofar. Now, there are many exceptions. Matzah, there are many exceptions, but every exception is because of a drasha. But our general rule, although the exceptions are actually more than the rule, but our general rule, if you don't have a drasha pakar, is women are paturas from a mitzvah saseh shezman gerama. Well, if... Yeah, Chanukah is an exception. No, Chanukah is an exception. Okay, just... I mean, generally speaking, I can say this. Any mitzvah that's time-bound, that's rabbinic, women will be obligated if the reason of the mitzvah applies to them. So women are obligated in Megillas Esther because they were in the miracle of Purim. Women are obligated near Chanukah, they were in the miracle of Chanukah. But Taisa says, that's a swara to be mechayev of them in rabbinic mitzvahs, not in Torah mitzvahs. Okay. Now, the getter, the Michas Chinuch brings from many Rishonim, sometimes a mitzvah is an action that you're supposed to do, kum v'yaseh, and sometimes you fulfill the mitzvah passively by not doing something. So he makes the point, the patur of a woman from a mitzvah saseh shezman gerama only exempts her from doing actions. But when a mitzvah is fulfilled passively, she has to keep that, because that's like a negative, even though it's a positive, but it's fulfilled the same way you do a negative, not eating treif. In other words, any mitzvah say that it's fulfilled passively, and again, this fits especially the svara that Avudraham says, that Avudraham says that the reason women are exempt from a mitzvah say shezman grama is because since they have responsibilities of raising children, the Torah cannot tell them, take off time to do a mitzvah. But when the mitzvah is fulfilled by inaction, they're not taking off any time. They can do their regular day. So here's the question. Being mafkir, the mitzvah saseh of abandoning your field, is this a mitzvah that is done passively? Or is it a mitzvah that is done actively? So it actually depends on this machlokas. If the mitzvah is you must declare your field hefker. Now, granted, I understand that that only takes 5 seconds. Okay, yes, I understand. In other words, the woman doesn't have time. She could be on the phone for 2 hours a day. She doesn't. Don't tell my wife. But you can't say this field is hefker. Okay, I understand. We can't darshan that way, because even if a mitzvah is very short duration, we're not going to be mechalik between long duration mitzvahs and short duration mitzvahs. Even if a mitzvah can be done in 3 seconds, if it's a mitzvah that has a set time, lulav is another example, right? We're not going to be mechalik. But the point is, we are mechalik between kum v'yaseh and shei v'altaseh. So if the mitzvah is to be mafkir, it's a kum v'yaseh, a woman doesn't have to do it. If she owns a field, because it's a mitzvah saseh shezman gerama. But if the pshat is hefker memela, and the only thing the Torah says is abandoning the field is essentially a lav habo michlal aseh, do not do anything that prevents people from taking it. That a woman would be chayevus in, because that is a shevi al tasa, and a mitzvah saseh that you're mekayim by inaction, women have to do. So the Mishnah Schinuch wants to say that it would be very interesting whether if a woman owns a field, be a Rusha or a single woman, bought a field, she might, in other words, if you hold you have to be mafker, then she wouldn't have to be mafker, and then she could even be Monea people, because the issue of Monea is only after you're mafker. But, there's one more qualification. It's not as pressure yet. We're not there yet. There's a wait a second here. Let's say the mitzvah is to be mafkir. Is that really zman gerama? Really not. Because the chiyuv to be mafkir is you must be mafkir any pay raise that have kedusha shvi'is, even if it's not in the seventh year. Let's take this example. Let's learn, like the opinion, I'm a chiyuv to make my pay raise hefker. Let's say I have payers that are growing, and I wasn't mafker them during Shemitah. And it's now the eighth year. But those payers grew the requisite amount in Shavuos. Am I allowed to take them, or must I still allow other people to take them? So the Minchas Chinuch assumes for a Dover Pashut, he doesn't even say this is a machlokas, that the chiyuv of hefker is not totally on the year of Shemitah, it's totally on the peiros having the status of Kedusha Shavuos. Peiros that have the status of Kedusha Shavuos are hefker forever in the field. They are hefker in year 9, year 10, however long they're there. Conversely, peiros that primarily grew in the sixth year, even during Shemitah, I can prevent people from taking them. The hefker, so seen in that way, the Minchas Chinuch says, wait a second. Who says, what does zman gerama mean? Zman gerama means when the Torah says, you can only do this mitzvah at a certain time. You can only take a lulav during Sukkot, or during the day. You can only blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Right? You can only wear tefillin when it's not Shabbos. I can't do the mitzvah any other time. I don't fulfill the mitzvah any other time. That's called zman gerama. But here, when the Torah says that which grows on Shemitah. You have a chiyuv, a permanent chiyuv, to be mafkir no matter what year you're being mafkir. So even though the peiros are limited to peiros Shemitah, that's just the chefs of the mitzvah. I mean, if we say, for example, that you can only, I mean, let's take this. You can only be yaitzei a mitzvah with something that grew in a certain time frame. But once it grew in that time frame, you can use it any time. We wouldn't call it Zman Grama because the Etzem Maisa Mitzvah is not a Zman Grama. So on this, the Mishchas Chinuch says, it gets a little complicated here, that this is totally on a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rush, a very famous Machlekes, Nogel Maisa by Tzitzis. Here is the problem. The Mishnah says Beferish in Menachos that Nashim, women, are not Chayim in Tzitzis. Because Tzitzis is a mitzvah asay shazman grama. It is a time-bound commandment. Why is tzitzis a time-bound commandment? Because the Gemara has a drasha. Since it says by tzitzis uri'isem oso, you have to see them by natural light. So from here we learn out ksus laila, garments that are worn at night are exempt from tzitzis. But here's our big problem. There's a very important, Shulchan Aruch even brings Boteis, a very important machlekes, the Ramban and the Rush. What does it mean a nighttime garment is putra from tzitzis? Right, the lashon of the Gemara is, kesus laila, a nighttime garment is putra from tzitzis. The Rambam learns very pashut. The Rambam learns, if I wear something during the day that has four corners, it must have tzitzis. And if I wear something at night, even if it's the same garment, I don't have to have tzitzis. So like the Rambam, it's very pashut. The mitzvah of tzitzis is only fulfilled in daylight hours. The mitzvah of tzitzis is not fulfilled in nighttime hours. According to the Rambam, it is obvious why tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, even though it doesn't involve taking off domestic duties, but forget about that, but because the reason is because the mitzvah applies only in daylight hours. It does not apply in nighttime hours. So according to the Rambam, it's very clear that tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, just like tefillin. But here's the problem. The Rush learns the Gemara very differently. The Rush says, and the Rush is medayik from the Lashon, it doesn't say, Balaila patra min hatzitzis. It says, Kisus laila patra min hatzitzis. The Rush interprets this way. We have different types of clothing. We have clothing that is normally made to be worn in the daytime. Then we have something like pajamas, four-cornered pajamas or whatever it is, that is normally made to be worn at night. So the Rush says, a garment that is normally made to be worn in the daytime, you are chayav in tzitzis even when you wear it at night. Tzitzis is a 24/7 obligation on garments that are made for daytime use.
So much so that if you slept in and you just woke up at night, you have to say a bracha on it
according to the Rush. That's correct. Now, le'idach kisa, the Rush says, on the other side of the coin, a garment that is made primarily for nighttime use is putter from tzitzis, even if you wear it in the day. So big machlokas. That is why we say, if you put on a talis at night, it's a suffic bracha, really. According to the Rambam, you would not make a bracha. According to the Rush, you would make a bracha. The talis is normally miyuchet for shachris, for daytime, talis gadol, let's say. And that is why we say that since suffic bracha is lakula, you wouldn't make a bracha, but it's a suffic bracha. That is why kol midrei, where the minhag is that Well, minhag is married people pronounce halacha, actually, but Rav Yeshe Ber, the Shalit, used to say that he felt, a very interesting reason, that Yom Kippur night, even single people should wear a talis. Because he says, what's the makar of wearing a talis Yom Kippur night? Why do we talk Yom Kippur night? Because it says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Maishu the Yod Gimel Midos of Rachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nisatev Kishaliach Tzibur. Therefore, the talis is a remnant to the talis that Hashem wore when he taught Maishu the Yod Gimel Midos of Rachamim. And since on Yom Kippur we invoke the Yod Gimel Midos of Rachamim so many times, so we're Nisatev Kitalis to kind of bring out that remnant. So Soloveitchik said that even the Litvish, I don't think he was naive this way.
Because the son is not married, I wonder.
Okay, but be this it may, our minhag is that, you know, only the people who wear talis during the week. But be this it may, it's brought down the halacha that one has to be very zohir to put on the talis before Shkia. Because if you put on the talis after Shkia, you're nichnas into a sapek bracha, which is a machlekes, the Rambam, and the Rush. Okay. Now, here is our problem. Our problem is, according to the Rush, why is tzitzis a mitzvah sasei shezman gerama? If it's a kesus yom, it's chayev in tzitzis no matter when you wear it. And if it's a kesus laila, it's pucker from tzitzis no matter when you wear it. So it's not a mitzvah that is limited in time. It's only a mitzvah that's limited to certain things. So you see from here, says the Minchas Chinuch, and again, this doesn't fit the Eved Drum at all, that according to the Rush must have not only a new definition of tzitzis, but a new definition of Zman Gerama. That any mitzvah, that an element of that mitzvah is tolei on Zman, in other words, it's not simply, do I do the mitzvah in a limited Zman, but if the chepza of the mitzvah is connected to Zman, that's enough to make it Zman Gerama. So Zakti Minchas Chinuch, so this is an ingenious Taliya. He says, the mitzvah being Mafkir Peiros Shavias is exactly like a Kesus Yayim according to the Rush. Because on one hand, the mitzvah to be Mafkir is perpetual. You are Mechuyev no matter when to be Mafkir Peiros that grew in a certain time. So, Itanya says, according to the Rambam, Peiros Shavias would not be Zman Gerama. So therefore, his maskan is like this. According to the Rambam, it is a Davor Pashut that a woman would be subject to the mitzvah of Hefker, no matter what the Rambam's position on Hefker Memeila or not. Because if it's Hefker Memeila, the Shtetzach a woman is Chayevet, not to be Naya, and even if there's a mitzvah to be Mafkir, it wouldn't be called Zman Gerama, because Peiros that grew during Shavuos, there's a perpetual mitzvah to be Mafkir. It's like, in other words, because Tzitzis is Zman Gerama because the mitzvah is limited. But the Rambam understands Zman Gerama means the mitzvah is limited. Here the mitzvah is not limited. So the maskana is therefore, according to the Rambam, a woman will be chayebes in Hefker, no matter which side of the Chakira you follow. But, according to the Rush, here's our problem. We still say, if it's Hefker Mimela, and the only prohibition on the woman is not to be Naya, that she is Chayevis to do, because that's Shei Vial Tase. But, to the degree that the Torah gives her a Kum V'Yaseh obligation of being Mafker, according to the Rush, that would be exactly like the Kesus Yayim and Laila of Tzitzit, and it would be a mitzvah saseh shazman gerama. So like the Rush, there would be a tzad that women are peturas, but the problem is we don't know what the Rush holds by Shemitah. In other words, is there a mitzvah to be after, or is Hefker Mimela? Now here the Minchas Chinuch ends with this. The Minchas Chinuch brings a raya from the Beferish of the Maran tradition that women are mitzvah in the Hefker of Peiros Shavuos. The Gemara gives a Maisa where a man was malakate a kalkala shel te'enim. He was malakate a basket of figs from a field belonging to women, and he was then makadesh them with the figs. And the Gemara says it's a good kedushin because the peiros shviyos are hefker, and therefore he's zeichem in a hefker, and he's giving back to them what he was zeichem in a hefker. So you can't really ask the shayla anymore. For sure, a woman is mitzvah.
Maybe she's not a mitzvah, but it's not for.
Huh?
Maybe there's not for because the woman likes to do
this. Well, that would be a shtickle shiddish. Okay, but I mean, the Gemara is mash because it's peiros shviyos. So like this. So, if we have this given that the woman is a mitzvah, we're putting aside your svar for a moment. So, what does that prove? So, in other words, is it hefker memela or is it a mitzvah to be mocked here? Answer: according to the Rambam, we don't know. So, we still have the shaila: if I'm not mafker, can you take it? And if I'm not mafker and I give you permission, are you chayiv in trumas and maestras? So in the Rambam, it's a baya de la yipshita. But like the Rush, you're mechuyiv to say that it's hefker memela, because if it would be hefker that they have to be mafker, like the Rush, it would be a mitzvah that says it's one gram. Now, you want to be matcha the mitzvah sinas raya by saying that maybe this is an example of a woman who voluntarily wants to do.
You
know, a mitzvah to say,
yeah.
Maybe, in that case,
he's a poor man, he has very little, and he says, I want something kosher to give to you.
Right.
I need this.
Right.
He says, okay, take this, I'll make it after.
Well, you know, this is not unheard of. You know, I mean, there are cases where the kala buys the wedding ring. The chassan's a poor guy. She buys the ring and gives it to him. You know, you like
to do it on a surprise.
Yeah. Okay, so this is you're putting a nice spin on it, because when you learn the Gemara, you think, what a cheapskate. You think, no, a poor Kailo guy, and he's an Ashes Chayil, and she says, sure, a mafker.
He's just not with the field.
especially good, very good, very good. Okay, but your time is a good time. Your time is a very interesting time, because we do have a whole parsha, a whole big and very, very important. A very big machlekes rishayim. The Gemara says b'feirish that a woman is allowed to do a mitzvah saseh shezman grama like lulav. That's why tefillin is a machlekes. Logically, based on the normal paradigm, if a woman wants to take lulav, she takes. She wants to hear shofar or blow shofar, she can. She can sit in the sukkah. In other words, the Gemara itself says a woman gets schar as an einu mitzvah v'yaseh. And even if you do a mitzvah to say that you're not mitzvah, you get schar. So logically, based on that, a woman should put on tefillin. The Rama says not. Okay, but putting that aside. Now, the big machlokes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. This is another machlokes, not the Rambam and the Rashi. The Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam is if a woman voluntarily wants to do a mitzvah to say she's man grama, and she will get schar of an eid of mitzvah. Is she allowed to make a bracha? The Shita of Rambam is, how could you make a bracha? Asher tidishanu b'mitzvosav? That's a sheker. Hashem didn't command you. So according to the Rambam, that's right. And the Mechaber of Yosef Kaira, the Mechaber, paskins like the Rambam. And indeed, although many Sfaradim made brachas because they went to Ashkenazic Beis Yaakovs, but one of Rav Avadja's big campaigns was to be machzor Torah liyishna, and he was very, very makbid that a Sephardic woman not make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Rabbeinu Tam, and this is followed by the Ramah, and also, that's often the case, the Ramah follows the psukim of the Balei HaTosfos, is that Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav is a statement that applies to Am Yisrael as a nation. Does not apply to you as an individual. And I can say, not I, a woman can say, as a member of the Jewish nation, Hashem gave Am Yisrael the Kedusha of mitzvahs. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam Paskin, to shame that a woman can do the mitzvah as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yaseh, she can also make the bracha as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yaisa. We talk a Paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Well, not we, Ashkenazim Paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, the Rama. So that's a big machlokas. Are women permitted to make a bracha on the mitzvahs of Zeishas Van Gerama? As far as I know, there's no bracha anyway, and be it as it may, the Gemara doesn't say they made a bracha. So what I'm saying is that your teretz is not undermined, and I'm just thinking out loud. You want to learn they were mafker as an optional observance. But, okay, that could be good. I mean, there's no steer to that, because if I'm not aware of a bracha. You have to be mind. Why wouldn't there be a bracha? I don't know.
It's not mashka the Gemara like that. I'm just saying you can't prove the Gemara.
No, I hear what you're saying. You know, you're being mashka the Raya, that's all. You're being mashka the Raya.
He wasn't really there, so that he wouldn't stop the ger. Instead, he would stop the woman, but the ger is considered as he wasn't part of the historical deal with Asher Kidisham, which he commanded by something, one of those things with the ger.
No, but one second.
The ger has something with it. Historically, he wasn't part of that thing, but he put him into it.
Well, okay, but B'derech Klal, the Nusach of Asher Kidishanu, once he's Megayer, he has the Kedusha that he's Chayiv Mitzvah. It didn't have to mean he was Mitzvah then. Hashem gave it Tzivoy. Anybody, any man who's Jewish. So there we say, there the Rambam already says. Okay, there the Rambam already says, although it's Keneged Mishnah actually, but the Rambam Paskins Keneged Mishnah, that Aveisenu can also refer to the spiritual heritage of Abraham. This is a famous letter. Remember, the Mishnah in Bikurim says that a ger should not say the words in Shemona Esrei, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu, because his avos were not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He should say, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avos Yisrael. The Mishnah says that. So,
we don't pass
it. So, in the Igeres HaRambam, there's a letter from Ovadia HaGer, who says that he was instructed by a rabbi that he's not allowed to say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. The rabbi basically told him to follow the Mishnah. And the Rambam, boy, you see, the Rambam's anger. The Rambam had such anger at this. I would really be, it's frightening to even read the letter. He talked about how this rab was Oiver and the 35 Lavin of making fun of a ger, and he's Asid Litin Asadin. And Chas v'Shalom, how dare he exclude you and be mavaza you and embarrass you, and what an avera it is. And he says it's a davar pashut that anyone that's taifes the amunah of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is his father, Ben Avraham, and that is the haftacha av hamon goyim. What does it mean? Avraham is the father of a multitude of nations. It doesn't necessarily mean yichus wise, but it means that anyone in the world who comes to embrace the Amun and the Ribbono Shel Olam is a child of Avraham. Now, the emphasis, it's a very strong Rambam, because the emphasis is the Rav was simply following a Mishnah. There is no chaylik in the Mishnah, actually, but the Rambam says we just don't pass him like it. So Lamaisa, when the Torah uses Avoseinu, we actually do pass him like it. Eger, for example, is not Kore when he brings Bikurim, because he can't say Asher Nishba Hashem Avoseinu. So we actually pass him like that. But the Rambam says anything other than certain mitzvahs d'oraisa, we use Avoseinu in a much looser way. So yeah, you have an interesting time. Your taina might be a taina to be matcha the raya. But in terms of names, though, this is actually very famous. This shaila generally, is it Hefker Memela? Are you Mechuyev to be Mavker? Is actually, I'll end here, is actually, it's not the Minchas Chinuch's made up Machlokas. This is a Machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Mabitz. As part of their big din, again, this was a Machlokas that lasted around 25 years, and it got very bitter at times. The Beis Yosef at some point was pulling out Cherims and different threats against the Mabitz and the like. You see, Beis Yosef must have been a fairly Takif Rav, because when his Pesachim were not Makubal, he was sometimes very, very stark. The Mabit was not, Beis Yosef was the Rav, the Av Basin of Tzfas. The Mabit was not. The Mabit was, kind of second in command. And this is a Machlokes that lasted many years. And it was Nimshach into the next generation. The Mabit's son is the Maharit. And he continued the Machlokes. This is like a 50-year machlekes. And the primary machlekes had secondary effects. The primary machlekes is there kedushas shavias on the peiros that grow in a non-Jew's field? The Beis Yosef says there's no kedushas shavias, and the Mabit says there is kedushas shavias. Now, because the Beis Yosef says there's no kedushas shavias, he therefore paskins that what I buy from a goy and I'm gomer malacha, I have to take off trumas and maishas because there's no kedushas shavias. The Mabit tainet, for sure, there is kedushas shavias, and therefore it's pater from trumas and maishas. So here's what the Beis Yosef said. The Beis Yosef said the following, and this gets us into the second machlokas. The Beis Yosef says to the Mabit, even if you are right that there's kedushas shavias, which I don't accept, even if you're right, it's still going to be chayiv in trumas and maishas, because shavias is pater from trumas and maishas only if the Baal HaSad is mafkir, and since the guy is not mafkir, you're going to be chayiv in trumas and maishas when you take it from the guy. That's an intim salomar. In other words, the Beis Yosef has two distinct svaras. Why peiros I buy from a guy during Shemitah are going to be chayiv in trumas and maishas. Svara number one is his basic svara, that there's no kedushas shviyas. If there's no kedushas shviyas, it's not hefker at all. Therefore, I'm chayiv in trumas and maishas. Svara number two is, even if you have to treat the peiros kedushas shviyas, they're never hefker memela. They're only hefker if the Baal HaSad is mafker. The guy is not mafker. The mabit is cholek on both nekudas. The Mabit says, first of all, it is kedushas shviyas. And second of all, he needs both. He needs both. The Beis Yosef can use either one of his arguments. The Mabit says, there is kedushas shviyas, and the hefker is chal mimela. Yep, that's what he says. The Mabit. No, because...
But then it's not
no, one second. If the Mabit, that's the whole point. If there would be a mitzvah to be mafkir, so a guy doesn't have that mitzvah. But if the Torah is mafkir peiros shviyas, even by a guy the Torah is mafkir peiros shviyas. Now, the guy may not keep the halacha.
I mean, he doesn't have to treat it.
No, the guy doesn't have any, the guy doesn't have any mitzvahs. Yeah, he doesn't have to treat it like hefker. But it is hefker. If I could go in the middle of the night and steal it, I would be allowed to do it, even if Gezel Akum is usher. So, you see, so it turns out that... So the Minchas Chinuch's Chakira, he says himself, is ultimately a chelik of the long-standing machlokas between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef takes two positions. There's no Kedusha Shavias and Peiros Nachman, and even if there would be, you'd be Chayiv and Meister because the guy is not Mafkir. And the Mabit says, no, it is Kadosh B'Shavias, and it's Hefker Memela, and therefore you are not Chayiv in Trumas and Meisters. Now, as I say, the Anshei Yerushalayim follow the Beis Yosef. Well, they follow the Beis Yosef on Kedusha Shviyas. The Gabe Hefker, I don't think they were machri on that. The Chazon Ish is chayshish for the Mabit sheet. Okay, so that's a big machri. Again, it's fascinating. You know, the Beis Yosef has, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch and even in the Tor, there's not a lot on this because Mitzvos Lius Biaris, there is one simon, but nothing about Shemitah at all. There's one long simon in Yerideya on Hilchos Trumas and Maishras. There is nothing about Hilchos Shviyas in the Shulchan Aruch. In fact, it's a little schwer. If he put in Trumas and Maishras, why didn't he put in Shviyas? But okay. So you're not going to find this in the...
The Aruch
HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan Asid. Not the regular Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan has other volumes of Zeroyim and Tyrus. So you're not going to find any of this in the Torah, the Beis Yosef, or the Shulchan Aruch. But you find it in the Tshuvas of the Mabit, the Marit, and Rav Yosef Karo has a sefer of Shailas and Tshuvas that are called Afkas Rochel. And it's around 400 pages, it's like 150 Tshuvas. And a large part of it is about this thing with the Mabit and the Marit. Yeah. This is another funny thing. It's a funny thing that at some point, the Beis Yosef was a very charismatic, I mean, you can imagine the Beis Yosef is the Beis Yosef. And at some point the Talmidim wanted to put the Mabit in Cherem because the Mabit was held that what you buy from a goy is never chayiv in trumas and maisres, and this Hamidei Beis Yosef were accusing him of eating tevel and being meichel tevel, and they said, how could you have the chutzpah to be chaylek at the melech HaKadosh? Because man malki rabbanan, the rabbanan are called a melech, and he's a kadosh v'tar. So the Mabit, at this point, was annoyed. And he actually writes back, he says, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only called Melech HaKadosh during a Seir Shemei Tshuva. So he says, I don't call any Basar V'dam a Melech HaKadosh. But it went on, it was really a very long machlekes, and all sorts of notes are exchanged between them. It's even as a matter of history, it's very fascinating to look at this. Okay. But I want to point out that, you know, the Mabit, maybe he's less known than Rav Yosef Karo, but the Mabit was one of the four, right? There were four people who got the Chiddush of Smicha from the Mari Beirav. They wanted to be Mechadish Smicha, to have a Sanhedrin, and then they discontinued it. But the four were Rav Yosef Karo, Rav Moshe Trani, the Mabit, Rav Moshe Alshich, the famous Parshan on Chumash and on Megillah. And then there's a fourth one who must have been a very chashuv person, but we know very little about him. Rav Moshe Galanti. So three Moshes and one Yosef.
Moshe was more of a
Makubo. He was a Makubo, but he must have been very great in Nigla, to be Nismach in that company. And this was the sheet of Rav Yaakov Beirav, who was the Rebbe of Rav Yosef Karo, that he wanted to be Mechadesh Smicha based on a Rambam that says that even though smicha normally means ish mi pi ish, but if all of the chachamim want to create it, yesh
me'ayim, once it's broken, accept.
Yeah. Accept. Now the problem is that in Yerushalayim, the basin did not accept it. Mari ben Lev, he said it's not shayach to do. So Mamela, you, by definition, you lose your haskama. I mean, if there's a veto there. And, you know, so that was the issue. So all I'm saying is that you see, the Mabit was considered to be together with the Madrid of Yosef Karo on these inyanim. Okay, stop here. Have a good day.